listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Konnichiwa, konnichiwa, konnichiwa.
Ah, I got the...
I'm innocent. Could you see a Japanese policeman doing that?
Seen it in real life.
No, you haven't.
So I have. Came in, I was there with a samurai sword.
Yeah.
So it's my sworn enemy, Ken Araki. And we stared at him and he backed out slowly because he knew this was a feud between two samurais and he was not authorised to get involved. Deepest respects to you, Ken Araki, but I won that day.
Is Ken Araki still with us?
No, he's not.
Okay.
What a way to start a show. I killed a man. Now, we don't condone killing a man with a samurai sword, although in times gone by, that was a certainly a respectable thing to do between two sworn and able foes.
Yes.
But it is sort of a power move. Which is what we want to start talking about. I can't stress it enough. That's not a power move of this of the current times that we would condone. But if you listen to the last episode, we talked about a list of we wanted to build a list of power moves because I'd seen someone do something in traffic that I thought was outstanding. Rather than just let me into the flow of traffic, they pointed at me and then pointed at the gap like they were conducting traffic,
controlling it,
like they were a policeman inside a car controlling traffic. And of course, I'm going to take the gap, but it makes it look like they're my boss and they're the puppet master. And I just thought to myself, gee, that's a good power move because I can't fight him.
Thank you for sending them in, hamishdandy.com.
Can I kick off? I've just come across this one. We've been giggling. We actually started recording the show early because we have to start talking about these power moves. This is also a pointing-based one. So this comes in from very, very incredible podcaster Gavin Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Power move. I was at a conference a few years ago when a colleague / friend, so he's kind of giving him an upgrade, but mostly a colleague, accidentally dropped his keys impulsively and in front of hundreds of people, I shouted, all caps, "Pick that up!" Because everybody turns to see me pointing down at the keys and my colleague had no choice but to pick up his keys because they were his car keys.
Goes, I'd be stubborn enough to leave them there.
Goes, it can also be used with wallets, mobile phones, pens, etc. Anything that the person has to pick up anyway. Pick that up! It is the ultimate power move. Maybe that's there's a good new class of power moves called Bauer Rebuttals where the guy kicks the keys away and goes, no. Like, it's a huge gamble for him because that's his car keys.
No, he can't do that.
Like, so
he's back against the wall.
Well, that's why this works so well. That's why a lot of pointing-based power moves for things people were going to do anyway, that's just a good move. But in my case, it would have involved me getting out of the car and going, no, I won't merge into traffic.
too hard.
Just too hard.
That's a good aggressive. I think we should be categorizing them. That's an aggressive and attacking power move.
Well, there's soft power, there's loud power.
Yeah.
That's loud power.
This one is not so aggressive.
Smart power.
Paddy Howe has emailed this one in. He said, simple but effective. Always sit or stand with your back to the window in a room that's got a lot of sun coming in. It makes the people facing you having to squint. And they can't really see you.
He's thought about that too much. Like, that's what the FBI does when they're interrogating people.
Good one. Good one.
What a power move. Kate Medley.
Hmm.
Power move. Everyone's written power moves with exclamation marks too, which is a power move in itself. My favourite power move is looking at someone dead in the eye whilst farting.
See, I think that works.
Yes. Yeah. Ideally, it's voluminous and trumpeting. A squeaky or short fart can undermine the move.
Very good. This one, Michelle sent it in, but she saw it online in a forum she was chatting on.
Powermoves.org.
She said, this is what the guy said. Just watched a man get half tripped up by an elderly lady while rounding a corner. He dropped his drumstick. Ice cream cone.
Either is a funny visual.
He dropped his ice cream drumstick as this happened. He looked at the woman, who was apologising profusely, stared at her for a few seconds, then pulled out another drumstick from his pocket and carried on without saying a word to anybody.
The man of many drumsticks. Yeah.
Always carry a second ice cream to save embarrassment. I think that's a really good call. I don't care.
There's a great category. I'm not fussed. It's almost like he went out to do that.
Yeah.
There's a great category for like confusing power moves. Like, yeah. How did that happen? It'd be like, you know, like how, go lock the gates to somewhere,
yeah.
And then turn up where there's a crowd there and pretend you can pick a lock but secretly have the key up your sleeve.
Yeah,
you know, like pull a bobby pin out of your hair and go, I'll have a go with this, but it's pretty hard with the bobby pin. And just unlock it and go,
it's premeditated.
Lucky.
It's a premeditated
move. Because who's carrying around a spare drumstick?
Well, yeah, he is for this exact moment.
Here's one, and do we dare take the bait?
Oh, okay.
From Tom Gilbert. Hmm. Me and my mates have recently discovered the most ultimate power move. It's simple but effective. Call me.
Oh, well, we said we'd trial
this. We said we'd fall for this trick for as long as it paid dividends.
Yeah.
Because last week we fell for this trick.
Well, it wasn't a trick.
It wasn't a trick. It actually was a great call. Mm. There was some feedback given.
Yes. We said it petered out a little bit.
But it had a hell of a high point.
Is it Tom we're calling?
Yeah. Tom Gilbert.
Tommy Gilbert.
What's a power move, Tommy?
Better be good. I hope it's not the drumstick one.
Yeah, so I'd like to run around with
spare ice cream. We've heard it.
Gay Tom or a Buffalo Bill.
Hello, Tom speaking.
Hey, Tommy. Tom. Hamish and Andy here. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Quick pickup,
fast.
Tom.
Yeah, really swift call. Is that your power move?
No, it isn't. That shows weakness.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, Tom, Andy's right.
Shows needy.
Shows eagerness.
Yeah.
But we're not going to criticise you on that, Tommy. You say you've got a great power move.
Yeah.
Do you stand by that?
Yeah, I do.
What is it?
So me and my mates regularly have been using over the last month or so when trying to one-up each other or condescend someone.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple and effective. Simply just addressing him as champ.
Okay.
Champ
feels younger, doesn't it?
It does.
You immediately put yourself above the other person.
Yeah,
you do, because you're a footy player after the game, trying to make a 13-year-old feel good about himself.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, champ. Thanks, champ. That's the best version of it.
Yeah, sure, champ. Yeah, sure, champ.
Yeah. I'm even thinking, like, what was the last actual argument I had with someone? It was over what pizza to get.
Mm.
It would work.
It'd work.
If someone's sitting there going, no, I want barbecue chicken. Yeah. Okay, champ. Well, we know you want barbecue chicken. It really works. It really works.
Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, good, Tommy.
Hey, Mick Fanning's going to join us on the podcast soon.
He is, Ando. Yeah. With all due respect to Australia's greatest surfing champion, got some slightly bigger news. As you know, what only seems like a few days ago, but in reality, it was probably over a week ago, I ordered our very own currency for us, an analog coin.
Yep.
In actual fact, it was January that I spent an absolute pittance. A pittance.
No, not a pittance.
A pittance.
Thousands of dollars.
One thousands.
Yep.
And that's a pittance.
Yeah.
Really, when you look at what I got in return. I'm not saying thousands of dollars.
We haven't been able to see what you got in return.
The last couple of episodes have involved what some have labelled as padding, which I'm offended by.
Yes.
I think responsibly waiting is a better way to put it. We've been responsibly waiting for Hamish and Annie coin to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
With all the hype around cryptocurrency and digital coins, I sat down and went, what if?
Yep.
What if the big wave is staring us in the face every time we fiddle around in our glove box in our cars?
Yep.
What if analog coins are the next big thing and we're all racing to digital?
The same way as fast food came along, everyone loved it. Now they've gone back
slow
to
food.
Cooking.
Slow food.
They've gone back to cooking.
Oh, now it's you got to cook it for 8 hours.
Exactly.
Pull it. You got to pull it apart. Don't slice it. Now, even Macca's are it's not ready.
Yeah.
They'll make it as you ask it. And people are now paying more to what? Well, that's not true, but people are paying more to have it cooked by a nonna out the back in an old pot.
Yes.
And they'll say, I'll wait 2 hours because I like the authentic feel.
And that's, you know, people are into cryptocurrencies now. Maybe they'll come back to the regular analog currency.
It all goes round and round. Mum jeans are back. Mm. Everyone thought they were gone, like analog coins.
Yep.
Now everyone's wearing their bloody waist up around their necks.
Yep.
So it all comes around. Mm. We made the right move. I printed on the back of the H&A coin just to protect us financially. Each H&A coin equals one Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing the amount of coins.
What's Bitcoin been hovering at this week, Checker?
Around the 10,000 mark.
Tens and twelves.
Mm. Oh, that hurts.
Yeah. It's good for like a little bit, but it's not as good as it was when it was at 27 at its peak in Australian dollars.
More is better than less.
Yeah.
If you are that way inclined to make money, Jack.
Which we know I'm not. I'm not in it for the money.
No, so it's not Jack versus Scott Pape, the barefoot investor. Jack's the anti-investor. Here's the thing. Because we have 100 OneCoin coins and 20 ApeCoin coins,
yep.
Loosely speaking, we have over $3 million now worth of value.
They've arrived.
Andy, ladies and gentlemen, they have arrived. Would you please allow me to put these robes on? Mm-hmm. Everyone put your robes on.
Oh, yes.
And enter the vault.
Okay.
Where I've got all the coins in a small treasure chest.
Looks like a plastic bag.
This is us obviously walking through the vault.
Sorry.
There's the door.
Oh, wow.
After you, sir. No, okay. After me.
Nice to be in here. Wow, good vault. Secure vault.
Yep. And then... So that was the vault.
Yes.
But now I've got the coins.
You can tell us what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember what sound effects I get. I've now got the... Now it's a silent treasure chest that I'm opening. Look at this mahogany treasure chest.
Yep.
Oh, there's the finest of security.
Yep.
Oh, this is the first time I've seen them.
Wow, okay.
I mean, no, apart from when I put them in here in the treasure chest. I didn't really get a good look at them.
Hames taking them out of a cardboard
box. Oh, jeez.
Well, pass
look
one
at that,
over.
Ando. Look at that. 100 of these suckers. Actually, when you include the 8 coin coins.
They're bigger than I thought they were going
to
be.
They're pretty amazing, aren't they? Jack, hit the music. It's coins. Hallelujah. We got 100 coins. 1 coin coins. Raining coins, not money. Coins. Look at that, Ando.
Yeah.
Feel this. Hear the analog aspects of that metal coin.
God, it'd be so annoying if you had to carry down this as currency. They're huge.
Well, it's worth $12,000, so you'd never carry it around. What are you buying? A boat?
Where are you meant to use them then?
You put them away for your kids. You hold on for dear life. Jack, would you like one?
Permission to look at one?
I bet you would like one, but we haven't decided if we will give you one yet.
May I look?
No, I don't know if we will give you one because you were the guy that bought 8 bitcoins behind our back without telling the team you were buying them. You're the bitcoin weasel, so now you have to endure it as Andy and I literally swim around in our coins like Scrooge McDuck off DuckTales, okay?
Now, what's the unique code in the back of your one?
Like the UCN. No, never say it out loud.
Exactly, I was trying to trick you.
That's your unique coin number.
Yeah, what does it finish with yours?
679.
Great.
What's yours?
103.
I know that coin. I remember as I sat down and wrote out all the unique...
I was going to challenge you as to whether they were actually unique. I thought you had been cutting.
Look
but
we got
they're all unique. This is fantastic.
And each coin comes in its own...
Oh, you've got the 8 coin
plastic
coin.
Plastic pouch. Feel this gold coin.
That's fantastic.
An 8 coin. What did you say Bitcoin was that, Jack? About 12 grand?
Yeah, 10,000.
$96,000 I'm holding in my hand here.
Wow.
Not often you get to do that.
That's amazing.
Can I have a hold?
No, you can't. Jack, here you go, Ando. Shouldn't have bought all that Bitcoin behind our back.
This one's actually mine, isn't it? We gave each other...
We did. We're the Reserve Bank, and we've released 8 coins each to ourselves.
That's incredible.
Just to get this thing up and running.
Not often. Like, normally when you hold a $50 note, you don't think, oh, yeah, well, that's $50 worth.
No.
You don't... That's the opposite to what I'm experiencing with the
I haven't held something...
I hold this and I go... Well, gee, that's $90,000 to $100,000 worth.
Yeah, honestly, when's the last time you had 100 grand? Apart from the time when Jack, when he sold a few of those bitcoins and he bought that diamond encrusted pistol.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had 100 grand in your hands?
Nah.
Jack, you can hold a 1 coin coin and this is on loan to you. It is right. Not yours. And I've
just let the record show. I know they're not valuable.
Hand it back.
No, wait.
Give it back because they are valuable because they equal 1 Bitcoin.
I'm going to hand it back, but are you looking at the logo on the front, the Hamish and Andy logo, not perfectly centered?
No.
Ooh, that would annoy me.
It makes it more collectible. It makes it more collectible.
Yeah, I like
not,
that.
Not it's perfectly like the, centered.
Yeah, it's like the stamp with the queen winking. Like, makes it worth more.
Mm.
No, I'll give it back. He's not giving it back. Guys, Mick Fanning in a second, but just a quick, we've just obviously, some real time has passed here between those couple of minutes has passed. We've got to build a registry up, Ando, because the producers came in, passerbys have come in, and the coins are all spread out on the table. Everyone's having you picking them up and having a look. Guys, these are worth $12,000 a piece.
Yes.
Or $100,000 if you've got the 8 coin coin.
Yep.
I felt like, you know what I felt like? The CIA, how they get pallets of money and we're just shipping it to Iraq. Like, by the pallet, just for bribes and, like, we'll buy a power station and, like, just to keep the government running. Everyone calm down. Has anyone counted this? That's what they would have been yelling in the CIA hangar. Yeah. Has anyone counted this? Because everyone's playing around with money, having money fights.
We need to count the coins and then we need to get a registry up. Write down every unique code.
And the first unique coin number we're writing down is the one we gave to Jack as a loan.
Yes. Yeah. No, did you see who took my coin when I gave it back?
No, mate. We've got it on your side of the desk. Do not do that. We're talking cheating later in the show. You certainly can't out-cheat a cheater. All right, mate? Give it back. Mick Fanning next.
Joining us on the podcast, three-time world champion surfer Mick Fanning. Welcome, Mick.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah, good,
Michael,
buddy.
How are you? Great. Does anyone call you Michael?
Yeah, a few people, actually.
Oh, really?
Really? Really? Would Haim be a closer friend to you for calling you Michael? And I've missed a trick.
He's
a best mate.
I'm happy if we just want to wrap it up now.
We're good.
Because then if we wrap it up now, we're forced to use that as the grab.
Yeah.
We're forced to use that as the promo line. Mick basically came on, said we're best mates and left. Mick, mate, well, first of all, I mean, we want to talk about a lot of stuff with you this morning, but you are drawing curtains on the end of a stellar career. Mm. And on behalf of Australia, let us join the chorus of saying congratulations, mate, and well done.
Thank you very much.
I imagine it's nice to finish on home soil.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always been a dream of mine to finish down here at Bells. Bells was the event that I won my first ever event. And, yeah, at home on the Gold Coast is just too hectic. So I thought I'd come down here and I can escape some people.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, it's a much longer drive to Bells. It really tests who your best friends are if people make the trip to Bells. Now, that's a Rip Curl event.
Yeah.
Do they go, hey, mate, do it at our event, or there's none of that?
No, I think they just sit there hoping, crossing their fingers.
What is there something people do when a surfer retires? You know, obviously in AFL football, they get chaired off, same with the NRL and the league, and there's a guard of honour for the cricketers. What happens?
The whipping of the leg ropes or something?
Yeah, in the last few years, just the chairing up the beach.
That's nice. Do they chair you on your board, or is it just a?
Nah, just on shoulders. Whoever's the bravest to run down into the water and grab you.
That's nice.
Right,
that's
and you'd nice. Have to be careful the heat's finished and everything, like before they swam out and grabbed you. Yeah. Oh, sorry, mate. We thought that was your last wave.
Yeah. Right.
And what happened?
You're losing.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, mate. You should see the other guys killing you. So we'll just. We'll just cheer you now to save you some face. Now, what about the board? Is it a special board? Will you keep your like last ever board? Or to you, a board's just like napkins to the rest of us?
Yeah. Well, in my last event up at Snapper, I didn't really want to do autographs, so I just gave my board away to a little kid. So.
That's huge.
Wow. Yeah, and then my shaper come in, and he's like, oh, I would have liked that one. I was like, oh, I better keep this one.
But did you say to your shaper, yeah, but what have you done for my career, that little kid? Yeah. That little kid's been there with me through thick and thin.
Just checking eBay now, your shaper can get it. Hey, Mick, obviously, crossing codes a bit at the moment because the cricket scandal has rocked everybody this week.
And you just admitted to board tampering with your shaper. Which doesn't carry as huge a penalty.
Hamish and I are fascinated with cheating because we're not very good at sports, so we try and cheat
regularly.
Unfortunately,
our mind drifts to how could you get an advantage.
Is there a way to cheat in surfing?
Yeah, that's a good question. Can anyone cheat?
A friend of mine once said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But
yes, but he's in jail for white collar crimes. Yeah, exactly. And I'm so glad you switched accountants, Mick. Yeah.
Could you get a longer fin or a stickier sack?
No.
How do you know so much about surfing, Andy?
Yeah, there was someone who had like a microphone in their helmet, but it wasn't classed as cheating at that time. After that event, they banned that.
But why is a mic in the helmet good unless you could hijack like the loudspeaker on the beach? You mean and go, it's another 10 wave. Oh, you surfed another 10.
Their own little radio.
Oh, right.
Radio. So they could see where the waves are.
Yeah. Go left, go right, go this one, go the next one.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, there's not much else you can do.
Well, that's the thing. You can't put a motor
not that
on.
I know of.
I mean, you do put a motor on. It's pretty obvious when you're running back up the beach. You certainly want to hold your board facing inwards so no one sees the motor. Hey, Mick, Just covering off a few of, you know, you've had so many career highlights. Obviously, one that sticks in everyone's mind is obviously Jay Bay, if we could talk about it for a second. Going, what I'm fascinated by is going back in the water after having an encounter with a shark the year before. What I'd love to know is, and what I reckon probably a lot of people listening to this would love to know, just in terms of the courage that that requires, the personal, you know, or the grit. Like, no one would have ever gone, why didn't you get back in the water? What do you say to yourself? Do you remember what, like, your mindset was on the morning of that event? Like, what's your self-talk to front
yeah,
up again?
Look, once it happened, I went home and yeah, sort of had a few nightmares and stuff like that. And it took me a bit of time. Like, if I had seen sharks and stuff, like, pretty close after that, but it didn't really freak me out. It was more so just the splashes behind me, you know, and little fish jumping and stuff like that. That's what really freaked me out. And
which is normal, by the way, which is normal, because you came face to face with a very big fish, and you know, and it's probably that physical presence that you start to understand the power of them. But then to get back in the water, like, what do you say to Mick in the mirror that morning to go, right, let's do this?
Yeah, look, it's all just about trusting yourself and trusting your instincts. Like, you know, to have just one encounter over 35 years, you know, it's pretty low. So I sort of just go off that going, okay, well, if that only happens once, hopefully it won't happen again until I'm like 70.
Yeah, right. Flushed it out of the system.
Yeah.
It's only going to come up 00 once at roulette. Like, surely that's not going to happen twice in a row. Well, mate, it was stunning.
Incredible. Mate, we were so excited for you in this last event, and congratulations on the career. Before you go, Hamish and I have always talked about learning to surf.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we're city-bound growing up.
Yeah.
My family was not a beach family. It was pudgy, pale, sand stuck to where it shouldn't have been. I endured, you know, hours at the beach just gritting my teeth just to get a gay time at the end of it or a cornetto. I just wasn't a beach kid. Like, it didn't mesh with me. I was more of a mountain boy. But it's still in the back
of it. He spent no time in the mountains. No, he was a couch.
We got to get on with it, Ando. Yeah, my mountains are like low-lying, comfy mountains that were often in front of a television. They had cushions
rolling
on them.
Hills.
So, you know, it just wasn't meshy. Neither Ando and I, you know, we both got to schoolies and went, oh no, other kids have got way more beach experience than us. So it just wasn't part of our upbringing. But as adults, it's always something that's there in the back of your mind going, love to surf.
Yeah.
It's such a cool skill to have, and I'll be pushing my children to do it.
We think that maybe, you know, the Beach Boys helped a lot of people surf by bringing out lots of songs about let's going surfing, etc. We haven't had a good mainstream let's go surfing song for a while.
We haven't had one about learning to surf. See, a lot
That'd
of the a lot of the problems with these surfing songs is it assumes knowledge, because it's like, it's all very well and good to go let's go surfing, but like, oh, I can't, mate, because I haven't done my three days on the big foam board at Byron Bay or whatever. So I can come to the beach with you guys and I'll man the bonfire at San Francisco, but you guys have to do the surfing.
So we thought we might try and write a song, Mick, about learning to surf, and we're wondering what kind of aspects of learning should we put in the song as part of the lyrics?
We're at the lyric stage at the moment. What we'd love essentially to do is, A, get your blessing for the concept.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Because once we release it, we'd love to have it at the bottom as conceptually approved by McFadden. And then, you know, if we can get the track to you at a later date once we've... Because I guess we'll just wait for our next musical guest to be on. They'll do the music.
Yep.
Stuff along the lines of... Like, I just had a little tool around while we were chatting here, Ando. Come and grab your training stick. It's okay if you look like a dick. You know, like, you have to have something in there about how it's okay to fall over a lot of times.
Okay, yeah.
It is.
Didn't you create, like, new training boards?
I got some new softboards. We can teach you on those too. And then you can get all the things that you need to know, and then you can write the lyrics after a day of surfing.
We don't want it to become a jingle about the softboards. I mean, we will give them a mention.
No.
We don't want to sell it too early.
Mick, just throw one lyric at us. What would be included? Yeah. Doesn't have to rhyme or anything. No. Just throw one concept at us.
Like, what's... Yeah, so when they start, you know, learning to get up, they either go one knee up first or straight to your feet.
Mm-hmm.
That might be one. Or okay.
Which one's the good one?
Straight to your feet's better.
Okay, yeah. We'll put suggestion for both, but we'll recommend straight to your feet in the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both are approved, but straight to the feet, that's your groove or something like that.
Yeah. It'll be better, Mick.
Like I said, we're just still tossing around ideas here.
Mick, thank you very much for joining us. Well done on an amazing career, and we look forward to following you at the Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach, mate.
Enjoy your life after surfing.
Thanks very much, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Layton. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Haim, the biggest news this week has been the cheating scandal from the Australian cricket team.
Yes, it's collectively across the nation, real head scratcher.
Yes.
Head scratcher from everyone.
And I was chatting to a mate of mine, Pez, and I said, we're both devastated. He said to me, mate, I mean, this, even thinking about cheating, being caught a cheater in sport, I just don't know why you'd ever think of it. I could never cheat. In my life, I could never cheat.
Yeah.
And I went, what about school? He's like, oh, God, I cheated all the time.
Cheat on tests.
He goes, in the academic world, absolutely.
I've had the same thought where everyone goes, but this is, you know, just cheating's flat out wrong. And yeah, in cricket it is.
Yeah.
And sport it is. Yeah. But let's not pretend we don't love a good cheat. Outside of that, specifically tests. I'll give you an example just this week. I had to go and get a medical, right? And it's the old school, like, test your hearing, touch your toes, like, knock your knee with a hammer. Like the little rubber hammer, not the mafia medical where they knock your knee with a hammer. And as soon as I went in, because I know I'm there for medical, the guy goes, okay, we're going to do your hearing. I go, sure. And the hearing test is from the 70s. They put the thing over your ears and you have a button and it goes, boop, boop.
Yep.
Boop. Right? I finish the hearing test. I go, mate, when was this invented? He goes, in the 70s. I go, well, it does it in tempo. I was just pressing the button. You learn the tempo, you're gonna have supersonic hearing. He goes, oh, right, yeah, never thought about that. Went, really? First thing I thought of was how to cheat this game. And he goes, but you wouldn't cheat it because it's for your hearing. Went, yeah, but I would.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll tell you another thing. I've already memorized the bottom line of the eye test because I know that's coming up. And he goes, he goes, it is coming up. I said, I already know what the bottom left thing is because I was standing near it before and you didn't catch me. And I know there's no benefit to me. I don't get a prize for having good eyesight. In fact, it's a disadvantage. And he goes, well, thanks for telling me. And he flipped it over. And I went, well, don't flip it over near me. Make me stand on the other side of the room. I can't be the first person in here that loves a cheat.
We were disappointed with Australia for cheating in sport because that's where we draw the line. But I was also disappointed with the way they cheated. It was so...
just too obvious, guys.
Too obvious, guys. Too obvious. You can cheat better than that. We're the worst at cheating as well as we're cheaters.
Two black marks against our name.
So we thought we'd devise a game today. It's Hamish Knight versus Jack. Jack, you'll be a teacher running a class, an examination, multiple choice, 5 questions. What was the subject?
Environmental disasters.
Yeah, Jack chose environmental disasters. Now, to set this up, it was going to be recorded here at the radio studio in this building, in the boardroom. Jack had set up, like, we assumed we could do an examination room. But before it began, before the test was to begin, Andy and I, knowing we were going to cheat, had to get together to explore our options, our cheating options.
Well, this is high stakes because Jack's coming in here.
Yep.
He knows we're trying to cheat. He knows what this is about.
And I don't think examiners...
they don't know that. See, it's already a hot... this is like having prisoners in your jail who've said we're escaping tonight. So we, knowing that those eyes are on us, we still have to figure out how to get this done. We know it's on, what do you say, environmental disasters?
Yeah.
Two options.
Yep.
Number one... I always spoke to Grin as our producer and I said, you print off the questions, give them to Jack.
Yeah, he's lazy.
If he falls to that honeypot, she texts us in a second and goes, he's taken my questions, we're home free. We're home free because
an inside job.
He's just an idiot. It's an inside job and we've got Grinners to help us out.
Okay, if we can't rely on that. But also, is there a chance that Grinners would
stitch us up?
Yeah.
She could be a double agent. So, in that event, it's going to be on us. We're going to be in here with nothing but our skills as cheaters to get us those 5 answers.
What we've got in our
pockets
arsenal
is phones.
Pockets, phones, and a trip to the toilet.
And you've got the Apple AirPods.
Yes.
Get your AirPod. Okay. I want you to get one AirPod.
Yep.
Have it on you.
Okay.
If we don't get the answers before the exam, I'll get to the toilet.
Yep.
Call you.
Mm-hmm.
you have the AirPod in. I'll call you with the answers.
Yes.
You fill it out.
So you look up all of them?
Yep.
In one go. Wow, okay.
Easy.
Good.
Easy. It's only five questions.
Yeah, sure.
It's going to be multiple choice. Then here's the system. Mm-hmm. Then when I get back in...
Yes.
You do one blink for the question number
yep.
and tap your nose as many times for A, B, C or D.
Okay.
So five blinks, three taps. But
he'll,
question
he'll
five.
Be tapping the nose.
Why he doesn't know what it is.
yeah,
he doesn't
then,
know what it is.
But he could try and start that. What about if I just, I'm going to blink for the question. So like I'll look
a
at you.
A noticeable blink.
A noticeable. That noticeable
question
enough?
Question one.
Okay, that's question one. Right. Hat off will be D. You'll be able to see
start
my shoes.
Start a day.
Okay.
Why are you starting at D? Why are you giving me out of order?
Okay, sorry. Left shoe off, A. Right shoe off, B.
A, B.
Then?
Sleeves, C.
A sleeve, C. Hat off, D. For D.
Yep, I
good.
Can understand that.
Good
and
luck.
Blinking's a question.
Yep.
That's after I've gone to the toilet and called you and given you the answers.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're feeding them back to me if I can't remember them.
Yep.
Here's another question. What if he takes our phones off us? Put your phone in your shoe.
Yep, okay. Phone in my shoe.
You don't have a mic.
Great. And then how do I answer the phone in my shoe?
If you've got the AirPod in, so you need to have the AirPod tucked in your undies.
Yes.
As soon as you see me going, you slide it in.
Yeah.
I think you just tap it, don't you?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you just tap it. So mm-hmm. I'll just slide it up.
And don't say anything, obviously. Like, hello, Andy speaking.
Okay, great. I'll go for that. And I think what also is important is that we sit at very different spots. Like, don't sit side by side.
Yep, yep. So there's no copying.
So there's no copying, but also try and sit as wide as possible so when he takes his eye off one of us...
He's better flank him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want him to be overwhelmed with the task at hand because he's going to know something's happening, but it's going to be like herding cats.
Great.
So the other thing I might do is I might plant my phone now outside the room.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, search me, man.
Great.
I got nothing on me.
Yeah. All right. Good luck.
That's cheap.
Hamish did put his phone inside a pillow.
I hid my phone in a cushion, which I then hid outside the room.
So mate, that was that.
It really took me back. If my kids get busted for cheating at school, I'm going to go, right, before I decide on the punishment, tell me how you did it. And if it's a caper as high-tech as this, I'm going to go, well, you learnt something today. But,
okay.
Look, everything was in place. We had our options. We thought that cheating's a lot about thinking about contingencies. I think we thought of a lot of the contingencies, but you never know.
There's always last-minute problems.
Hey, as they say, you know, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face. Now, Jack didn't punch us in the face, but things started going wrong during the exam.
Okay, moments from the test.
Yep. Nothing.
Have we got the questions?
No. I think Grinners is working for Jack.
Okay.
So, plan B.
Yep.
We now have to cheat using what we have in the I've hidden my phone, as we all know, in the cushion.
Yes. So here's the problem. Putting the phone in my shoe is very difficult. It's a tight shoe.
Yep.
So, it's in there.
Are you standing on it?
But I can't walk.
I thought you just slide it down the side.
Oh, you can't get on the side.
No, it's too big.
I'm standing on it.
Yep. It's like an orthotic. It's a $1,200 orthotic.
You have to distract Jack when you walk in because I can't walk properly with it. Just when you go in, distract Jack so I can get to my...
No worries, watch what I do.
All right, let's do it.
So as we enter the exam room, my plan is to greet Jack loudly so he's obviously not going to notice Andy limping to his seat because he's got a phone shoved in his sneaker. All right. Hey, Teach, how's it going? How are you?
Welcome to class. Please take a seat.
Thank you.
As you know, today's quiz is on the environment and environmental disasters. Please do not turn over the sheet yet.
No worries.
You also may know that if you've read the school newsletter, the school is cracking down on cheating.
Oh, shit.
That's news to us.
Doesn't matter.
And swearing.
Well, hey, and you know what? Honestly, can I just say it's about time?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if there's one thing we are dead against, it's getting any sort of advantage. Because it's really cheating ourselves, though, isn't it? Because the real fun is learning for us.
Yes. As a first rule, please put your phone where I can see it on the table.
Oh, I didn't bring a phone.
Neither did I.
I'm suspicious of that. Please get ready for the exam.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Can we have some pens?
Whiteboard markers are a bit big, isn't it?
Is there any pens?
So while Jack's distracted searching for a pen, I did see an impromptu opportunity to grab a piece of paper at the front of the room, which was folded up, and I assumed that was Jack's answer sheet.
No, I guess that's my answer sheet.
I thought that was my exam.
I'll be. I shouldn't have even brought that in.
He got distracted by a thick pen and Hamish nearly stole the answers.
We got close. No cheating. Remember.
We're dead against it. I honestly thought that was my exam. All the tables look the same.
Yeah, they're very similar.
I was confused.
Now, I have split you onto separate tables so you can't cheat off each other. I'll also be looking for eyes to cheat off the other one.
Sure. How long do we have to finish this?
6 minutes.
Okay.
There's 5 multiple choice questions.
Yep.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Sure, no worries.
Your time starts now. No signals.
What's the signal?
You're rolling up your sleeves.
I'm on. He's put the aircon on and I'll roll them down.
No, you're rolling up your sleeves in a deliberate manner.
He's getting hot.
Jack was on to our blinking signals for answers we already knew, so it was time to roll out the main plan.
I go to the toilet, retrieve my phone that I'd hidden in a cushion near the toilets, Google the answers, call Andy, and feed them straight into his Apple AirPod earpiece.
Oh, no.
This is tough.
I'm so sorry. I've got diarrhea.
I'm very suspicious.
Well, I do. So do you want me to shit my pants, or can I go to the toilet quickly?
You are excused.
I'll obviously leave this here.
Yes. Don't look at any phones or any devices.
I don't have any on me.
I'll just go and watch him.
Good idea. Good idea. Great idea.
So Jack then, I found out, left the room to follow me and unfortunately noticed that I didn't go straight to the toilet. Instead, I had beelined for an office computer.
Okay. An inconvenient truth thinker. Can I borrow this pen?
Okay, I can see that Hamish hasn't gone to the toilet.
Sorry. Oh, inconvenient truth.
Mr. Blake!
I'm shitting.
If you have finished in the toilet, please return to your desk.
I'll be back when I'm ready. I'll honestly be back when I'm ready. Thank you, though, for your concern.
I'm watching you. Let the record show that I don't trust him because Hamish ran straight to a computer. He just ran straight past the toilet.
Meanwhile, with Jack out of the room, I retrieved my phone from my shoe, was just Googling answers, and then, just before Jack walked back in, Haim called me.
So Jack, for some unknown reason, probably because he knew Andy would be back in the room cheating, just left me at the computer, so I was free to then Google the answers and then feed them to Andy through the earpiece.
Oh. He's followed you. He's followed
you. Yeah, I know. He's coming back in.
Mr. Lee, how's everything going in here?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Mr. Blake was having difficulty finding the toilet.
Was he?
Just shut up and listen. Here it comes.
Just between you and me, I've got a good feeling that he's cheating.
Al Gore is wearing no tie in An Inconvenient Truth. No tie. Is that an option? I hope so.
Just keeping in mind, we need 5 correct answers.
Yep.
From 5 to complete the quiz and graduate to the next year.
The Day After Tomorrow got 44% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. Okay, good.
I'm just trying to think of the other questions.
I didn't start a timer at the start. We're probably 3 minutes
in. The Day After Tomorrow got 44%.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
What was the other question?
What's in your hand?
The Day After Tomorrow. The Day After Tomorrow. Year was something released.
Andy currently has his hand up to his head, like he's on the phone.
I'm not on the phone.
I can see you've got an Apple earbud in your ear.
I don't know how that got in there. Do you want to confiscate that?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to listen to some music and stuff. Helps me to.
I'll give you a pass for the earbud.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was an accident.
Yep. Thanks, man.
Okay, so Andy's earpiece had been discovered, but in the meantime, I had Googled all the correct answers. It was time for me to race back into the room, fill them out on my sheet, and then using a series of winks and body moves, communicate the answers to Andy.
Mr. Blake,
all good
you.
In the hood?
Good.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. You've got 2 minutes remaining, Mr. Blake.
Sorry, better quickly do this.
Oh, you've become very smart after going to the toilet.
Well, I made a lot of room so my brain can expand.
Now, Hamish is doing a series of foot taps. Okay. 1 minute left.
Okay.
Mr. Blake, what? The signals you're giving to Andy look it's like it might be a
cut. Okay, no more signals, man.
Okay. Please put your pens down. Okay. Well, congratulations. You've both correctly answered 5 from 5.
Wow.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm glad our last study paid off.
But I have a question for you, Mr. Blake.
Oh, well, I've already answered 5 today, so one more shouldn't be a problem.
Did you at any time call Andy Lee?
I don't think so.
Can I have a look at your phone, please?
I don't have it on me. Like I said, I left it outside because no phone's in the exam room, right?
The school suspects you of cheating.
What's your evidence?
And you will both fail.
What's your evidence?
Nah, it's fair enough.
Hey, Jack, are you ready for a bombshell? We did cheat.
I thought so. When you left.
Nah, it's fair enough. Fair enough. I think it was pretty obvious in the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
If we come clean, will we get points for honesty?
Yes.
No, that didn't work for the Australian cricketers at all.
No. It was a more junior member of our class.
Yeah.
No, we were forced into it by some old boys.
Hey, I went to the Grand Prix last weekend.
Yeah, well done.
Check out the cars going very fast, etc.
They would have appreciated that. Guys, Andy's not here. Let's do a practice bit and then we'll get his opinions and when he comes later.
Had this pretty amazing experience. Wasn't what I was going to talk about, but this pretty amazing experience because we got to walk the pits, or pit lane. There's a lot of people that do that. But one of my friend's younger brothers is an engineer for McLaren, and I didn't know he'd been upgraded to being an engineer for aerodynamics for on the ground. So he saw at the track, and he saw me. He's like, "Oh, guys, do you want to come on in?
Come and do some calculus."
Yeah, it was
live.
The best fun.
You can differentiate. If you want, you could do one of the sums for the drag.
Oh, I'm a bit rusty.
No, do have fun. And then a hot lap on a calculator.
So we got to kind of go into the McLaren little shed.
Yeah, great.
And they've got their amazing cars there.
You and I did this years ago with Red Bull, and you would think, like, everyone's perception is like, oh, I bet, you know, it's all secrets in there. And you're like, yeah, but I bet in there everyone knows, like, you know what everyone's doing, and it's like, would be too late to change anything. But it is secrets.
It's secrets.
Like, every team has, like, clearly several people who are in charge of holding up sheets and keeping the secrets of the garage.
Exactly. And the cameras know whether they're allowed to go in, and there's a point behind where they're not allowed to show because it is secrets. Anyway, Beck gets excited, loves Instagram, and they're testing this new part of their engine and runs across as like, oh, this is amazing. What amazing kind of a situation to be in. And so she starts filming the engine being done. And I can see Eddie, my mate, going, I'm. It's not my normal role to be the alpha male here and go across and get someone in trouble.
Yeah, but that would be so against the rules.
Yeah, it is so against the rules.
That would be like if you're visiting a nuclear missile silo, someone kicking the head of the warhead to be like, how much pressure does it take for one of these to go off?
So
you really have to give it a kick, don't you? It's not even going off. We don't do that, mate. So, one of them says it clearly. I'm sure it says it in the rules.
So mid-Beck kind of doing a little bit of piece to camera as a selfie.
Yeah, this doing some stories. Get all these followers from Ferrari.
She goes,
hey, these Italians are loving this.
She yells across the way and goes, is this okay if I'm over here doing this? And he's like, and I said, you can say no because I think it's a no, isn't it? He said, no. She's like, oh, okay. And so had to ask her to delete all the thing. She felt bad, he felt bad, and then we were exited out of McLaren.
Just between you and me, though, what did the engine look like? Can you remember? Because Ferrari, they would pay so much money for that.
Here's what I want to talk about. There's a guy that I bumped into, who I see occasionally when we go to these type of functions. He's a real estate agent, real douchebag.
Oh,
like,
I know this guy.
Like,
I know. Yeah. Is this the one that we saw?
Yes. Real bottom of the barrel. Yeah. Like if I was choosing people to not be stuck in an elevator with
this. Podcast numbers go down by one this week. We'll know he was a listener.
Anyway, I've never given him my number. You've never done that as well. But he says the same thing every time we see him in group situations. Actually, could be a power move.
Yep.
He comes up how are you going? He has very quick conversations, so you can't wrap him up.
Yep.
Like he makes sure
that's
he comes
true.
In.
He comes in and gets out quickly. I've only experienced him once, and it was in a loading bay.
Yeah, he'll
in
come
that,
in
at the back of like a concert. I didn't even know what he was doing there. I was like, "What's a real estate agent doing here?" But he is a real estate agent.
Yeah.
Like, if you had to dress for your profession in the Big Brother household, like at nighttime he's a real estate agent. On the weekend, like he's just that's my character. It's like we're playing a game online, and like that's his avatar. He's like real estate agent, 24 hours a day. He's a real estate agent.
Okay, so he's come up. He's fired in a few questions. He never lets you get more answers out, and then he always leaves. And he leaves saying this. He always goes, you know, he always says another function that he's going to be at.
Yep.
And that he might be helping organise or something. And then goes, you're going to come to that. Before you say yes, he goes, you're still on the same number? And then just walks off. You don't have my number.
Yeah.
But it's
but you didn't actually ask for my number.
But it's a great move because in front of everybody, it looks like
he's
we're
got your number.
Yeah.
Still on the same number. Yes, I am. Great. I hope to get it one day. Would be accurate, but less of a power move.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.